Okay, you guys, come sit up. You can share pictures up here.
Are we at Outpost Calvary?
We are at Outpost Calvary Chapel. You know, I know that we've been through Ruth here. When was the last time you guys went through Ruth? Okay, we lost them. For the recording, what's happening tonight is everybody is so stoked to be with each other. We're just a small little tribe tonight, and we're just so rocking it, and just got to do some open worship, and now there's baby land going on, and that totally is a different element now. So
babies interrupt everything.
Babies are awesome. So if you're listening online, whenever this is, just remember, babies are awesome. We're in Ruth. I'm on. Test 5-4. Test 5-4-3-2-1. It could be the gain. Yes, but that's okay. I can go ahead and clip the front. Go ahead and turn the gain up on the thing, because if it's not doing it there, because I noticed the other day it wasn't loud coming through the, what do you call it? Gain, yeah, all the way to the top there. Boom, 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 test 5-4. What's the gain at right now? What percentile would you estimate? 50 would be straight up. Straight up, 50. Huh?
I would estimate now 55.
Okay, so do about 60 and you should have it. 60 is usually a good numero. See, if you got a Bible? You got a Bible? You got a Bible? You got a Bible? You're going to need to be in Root. Root with an H. So I know you ladies just went through this here recently. So what did you remember about Ruth?
It was just last year sometime.
Hmm?
It was last year sometime. I can't remember.
Okay, so it's time for lasagna, right? Sometimes it's time for more lasagna. So, you know, the deal with Ruth, and you guys know it, the deal with Ruth is that she's a Moabite. You guys know what a Moabite is?
No.
That's when you're hungrier and you want Moabite. yeah, okay. Moabite, do you know where the Moabites even came from? They came from Lot and God. Who loves you? God. Why are we this way? God. That's easy. So this is the deal. Where do we get the Moabites? We get them from Lot and his oldest daughter, right? When they had relationships because they wanted to continue the tribe on. The Moabites come from that incestual relationship. And, you know, there was a time, a period where the Israelites, they just constantly fighted with the Moabites. And then there was a time of relative calm. And then it went right back to fighting again under David's watch. It was relative calm. And we're going to be studying Ruth. In Ruth, one thing that's unique about the book is God is never mentioned in that book at all, in a sense. Only in the name of the dad, Ruth's dad. And we'll get to all that in the names here in just a bit. But the time that this is taking place, on Sunday we're studying Jacob, through that time. This is 900 years after Jacob. And 100 years shy of King David. So we're kind of in this sweet spot in between. And I love seeing this. But this Moabite, why is she even allowed in the tribe? Moabites were banned. They weren't allowed to worship. They're not allowed to go in the temple. None of it. You know what I love? And that's kind of what we're going to see. We're going to see a whole bunch of Jesus in there. Even though God's not spoken, he's spoken. And we're going to see a whole lot of the Holy Spirit in there, which is way cool. And we're going to see a whole lot of not going to the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. And you're going to get to see that here again. You know, this book is right in there with tail end of Joshua going into Judges and Judges Ruth and 1 Samuel. You know, after we get done with this book, we'll either go Judges or 1 Samuel, one of the two, because it's just so powerful to hit it. Who knows? We may go to all the way back Joshua and come through Judges and pop back through Ruth again and just do it all over again. So, but she came out of Moab. And you know what the name for Moab is? God's washpot. God's urinal. How would you like to be known as, I'm from God's urinal, you know? And if you think about it, while we're kind of going through here, you'll see God's washpot, and then you'll go all the way through to God's redemption. That's what you're going to get to see as you're going through this book of Ruth. God's washpot to God's redemption. It's kind of like us coming out of the crud of the world, going right on into the joy of the Lord. I mean, isn't that cool that you get to see this mirrored in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, it's so awesome to see. It's a solid message. You get to see all the genealogies that are going to be leading to Jesus. You know, the people that are in here, I mean, Boaz and Ruth, aren't they like grand or great-grandparents to David? You know, you're only talking not that far out. I can't remember that. I'll come back to it and get it right for you. Pardon? It's great-grandparents. Who else is in this line? Who's in this line? Rahab. What was Rahab?
Prostitute,
right? Sex trade.
That's okay, she was at temple.
And she was, but it was okay. Yes, that was Carmen. She said it was okay that she was a temple prostitute. Just for the recording, clip that out, please. No, I'm kidding. It's tongue in cheek, obviously. But you know, wasn't she in the wall that was yelled down? You know, they marched around for 7 days. Do you guys remember the Patterns of Evidence flick that we ran here a while back? And it showed the entire wall collapsed except that section. The entire wall around Jericho was collapsed except that section when they started digging it up and seeing it again. It was in perfect order. And you see the pictures of it. You see the live DVD of it. I just love seeing God do those things. He has a redemption out of this. You're going to get to see over the next 3, 4, probably 5 weeks, depending on how it goes, seeing Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. And then you look at Jesus as the kinsman redeemer, because again, one could only be redeemed of a crime if you were kinfolk to him. Did you know that? You had to be kinfolk to somebody to get out from under it. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus, how did he even come in flesh? Well, that was the Holy Spirit done through Mary, but he came here that he would be akin to the human race and not just for one group, not just the Gentiles, Jews, because if that's the case, Ruth is this huge door that's just kicked wide open that says, you, God's washpot woman, a Moabite, able to come in and be grafted in, proselytized into the Jewish tradition, and then is allowed, you know, to move onward and forward. I love to see this. I love to see this doctrine of redemption, if you will. It's such a beautiful sight. And you know something? I don't think you can go through, and I don't think a movie's been made yet for Ruth that really captures who she is. You think of Venus to the sculpted, right? You think of, what's the Italian? De Milo, whatever. Da Vinci. No, not Da Vinci. What was the gal that was painted? Huh? Mona Lisa of painting. Well, you know what? She is the Mona Lisa of Scripture. This gal is just beautiful. Her heart is beautiful, top to bottom, side to side. And I love seeing this. This storyline takes over about 10 to 13 years over this book, you know, and we've got these different characters that are in here. But tonight, we're going to get to see some really nice and broken down material here. We're in the time of the judges, you know, when you had God speaking directly to his people to his judge or his priest, if you will, that spoke directly to the people. Can you name somebody who was a judge? Samuel, that's kind of our favorite one, right? Samuel was yielded by Hannah, thank you. I almost said Hadassah, but that's our other gal. Hannah, and Hannah was the one that pleaded in the morning and the evening over her son, just let me have a son and I'll give him to you. And once he was weaned, he was given over to Eli and his horrible sons, and wretched Eli, who was yet another judge, right, raised Samuel. You guys remember that his mom would make him his little Samuel priest outfit with his little ephod. Can you imagine him being 5 years old with his little ephod priest little guy, right? And then he gets up to about 7 and he gets a new one, you know? He's all trucking in with his new clothes that mom made. And then it'd be late at night, and he'd hear Samuel pop up, and he'd run into Eli, what do you want? Go to bed, I didn't call you. He'd go back to bed. Samuel, what? Well, Eli. And Eli recognized that God was calling him, right? That's these judges. What I love about seeing him is you get to see a little ephod boy grow into one of the greatest judges that was there. Who's another judge?
Samson.
Samson, dreadlock Samson, right? So what's crazy is, I know we're not in Judges, but since we're in the time of Judges, you get to see guys that didn't do so well, and God still showed benefit to them, like Eli again, or like Samson. Samson took advantage of his long hair, didn't he? Long hair, freaky dude. Yeah? And then when it got cut off, no power. Right? There's no power in those dreadlocks. Right? He didn't have anything. It's over. So this is the time that we're in. And I love seeing it. It says in 1 of Ruth, 1, Father, thank you. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land. You know, I hear a lot of stuff going about environmentalism, and then we're having global cooling and global warming. But you know what? The Bible is very clear on things. We had a freeze, right? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The freeze came down as far south as Kansas, just shy of Oklahoma, and it's been melted back from Kansas. So global warming has happened for a long time, and it's ebb and flowed. And when you hear this stuff, it's only been recorded since the late 1800s. We're talking a famine in the land. How does a famine come about? Take a wild guess.
No water.
No water. Well, where does water come about? Too hot. Too hot dries it up, right? So what happened to him? Just like with Abraham, it got too hot, so they booked onto another part, right? They went elsewhere. So there's a famine in the land. And with us, if there's a famine in the land, we just call up King Supers and because we're saying, hey, we need some goods, and Walmart or Target or wherever you go shop. And they go over and they grab the food, you know, and they ship it in to you. If your oranges aren't doing so bad, no problem. We can book them up from Mexico or Guatemala, or we can bring them in from California. But here, if the crops went bad, it went bad. I had my grandson out. I was teaching him to drive today out in the country, and I took him out to a wheat field, and we gleaned some wheat. And it was dry bed wheat. That means it's not water like you see those things, water circles and whatnot. This was dry land wheat. And then we were out there a while back, and Mary and I were out there, and we grabbed a little head stalk of wheat, and she started eating it and went, oh, this is soft, and it's because it's still supple. It's still being rained on by man-made cause. But this other is dry land, so you bite into it, and it was hard. And he's like, he's got levels of celiac, and he's going, Pa, is there going to be gluten in there? I was like, yeah, but it's not that bad because you're just taking little grains at a time. And he really got to see the chaff being broken off when he took the seed, and he'd pluck another one off and grind it off and blow it and then ate. And he was like, at first it was really weird, but then you kind of bite on it, and it's kind of fun. And I, you know, Mary the other day was talking about, wow, this is what Jesus did. He just like grab it up there and grind it up, blow it off, and got a mouthful of rocks, right? Wheat rocks. It was great. But let me tell you something. If that drought comes and the famine comes, you can drive out. East Colorado is all flat. You can drive out 30 minutes from here and see ground that's not been furrowed, not been prepared for any of that. It's just done and gone. Hey, how you doing? It's just done and gone, right? So what they're doing here is they're coming in and they're replanting and running things nice and smooth, all the above. And it's really cool. So that's what I love about this, is that we can understand drought just by driving east of here just a little bit. You can understand enough about drought. Well, how can you understand drought? We got water. Because there's plants that have gone fallow. There's areas that have gone fallow, you know. So it's neat to see. It's sad, though, because let me tell you something. And we're in the book of Ruth, for what it's worth, if you get her square. What the challenge is this. I want you to think about this. You're a dweller. You've got a tent or whatever you're doing. You got all your folks in there, all your kids, your goats and whatever. And kids are goats, so you have your goats and goats. So you have your children and you have your kids in there. You got your goats, you got your sheep, you got your camel, you got your donkeys, you got whatever you got. You got your tents, and all that has to be packed up. And moved big time. You got to take your whole dog and pony show and leave your land behind and go to an area where you have moisture, that kind of thing. And a certain man in 1 and 1, I'll just read again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man came from Bethlehem, Judah, and went to dwell in the country of Moab. You know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. You know what Judah means? Peace. House of bread and peace. I love that. Because this is where this guy is coming from. He's coming from the house of bread and peace. We're sitting there eating wheat today. We're talking about that Jesus is the bread of life. We're talking about he's coming from the house of bread. There's a lot of stuff that deals with bread. People break your bread daily when they would eat. Bread is a major staple in pretty much every culture, but specifically here. So we have a man from house of what? And
peace.
House of bread and peace, right? Beautiful. Went to dwell in the land of God's washpot. So it's God's urinal. So it's like, oh, we're over here with a lot of bread. It's just so peaceful. This is a great place to be. To the toilet town. That's kind of what it is. That's Moab. That's Moab. Not Moab in Utah. Moab here. Went to dwell in Moab, and he and his wife and two sons. And the man, and the name of the man was Elimelech. And his wife was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, rather. So they're from Ephrates. But watch, that Elimelech, you know what his name means? His name means, my God is king. Now remember, if you're taking notes, you got one of these in front of you somewhere, and you can jot notes, there's pens there, and just jot away, make some of those notes. Elimelech, my God is king. And you know what? They wouldn't have called him Elimelech. They would have called him, my God is king, in English. My God is king! Dude, let's go get a hot dog. Right? My God is king! Come help me mow my yard. My God is king! Let me shovel your rocks. How would you like to have that? Like, my name means beloved. It means beloved of God. Can you, hey, beloved of God, pastor, beloved of God? That's a lot to say. Pastor, beloved of God? Yes, Elimelech. Yes, my God is king. Well, pastor, blah, blah, blah. It reminds you. Our names mean something. And they remind you of that. And I love seeing this. And the name of his wife was Naomi. It means pleasant or a positive outlook on life. So we have this guy coming from the bread of life, a house of bread and peace with his name, God is king, with his wife, pleasant. And she'd probably be just like happy girl. She just would have enjoyed everything, had a pleasant spirit about her. And then they had these two kids, Mahlon and Chilion. And you know what the Mahlon means? Unhealthy. Both of their kids were unhealthy. And the other one's name is Puny. So you have, my God is king, you have life is good, you have sickly little one, and you got Puny, unhealthy and sickly. So here they have all this going on for them, but two of their children are in a weakened condition from the house of bread. And of the Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. He died, right? So the husband died. Right? And all that was left was her two sickly kids. Now remember, we've moved to our house where everything was growing well. We had a lot of things going. We're going into God's wash pot. As soon as we get there, my God is king died. And all she has is two sickly sons. And now she's a single mom with two sick kids. Now you understand, in the tradition, those kids are her covering because the husband who was her covering is no longer there. So she's uncovered in that sense. She doesn't have somebody watching over her. So sad, huh? And they dwelt there. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died. Go, dude, that sucks. Come on, try it again. Dude, that sucks.
Yeah, that's really bad.
It is. It does. It sucks. They died. So the woman survived her two sons. That means she outlived. So I want you to think about this. Here she is. She lost her husband, and she lost her two sons. And she's in an area of despair. She has not the food because they had to go to someplace for their food. So they had the famine. They had to move. You up and move me because there's no food here. And she understands it. She's anybody would be upset if they had to move. If there's no jobs, you got to go to where the jobs are. You know that, right? When I worked in the oil field down in Texas, and, you know, depending on who was in office, if you had an oil-friendly person in office, the pumps pumped, and we had oil. If you had somebody that was not oil-friendly, we were out drywalling or farming, or I spent a lot of time changing truck flats as a young fella. You got to move. You got to go to where the food is or where the money is. And then you get there, and you, I don't know if you guys have a relationship or have had a relationship. When you have a loving relationship and that gets severed due to death, that's hard enough. But now I've been left with two sick children, and they died. That's some tough stuff. That sucks, dude. You guys know that all the funerals we went through this year, it was tough. It was tough times. Remember, we had one family. In their family, six of them had family members that died. One of them had family members die, four of them within about a three and a half week period. Mom, daughter-in-law, husband, cousin. Boom. And I'm going to tell you, it takes the wind out of your sails immediately. And this is where this woman's heart is. Do you think that pleasant and all is good right now, she's going to have to rename herself, right? Because she has to rename herself. Because it's a hard time. I'm not like saying that she officially has to, but look, when you're going through down times and despair, God didn't wake up and go, oh my God, they died. I don't know what to tell you. That's what we do. God knows exactly what to do. He brought her into a place, and just because she's in a real tough place doesn't mean that she's left there, and she's not left alone. So she's poor. She's impoverished. Do you get that? Have anybody ever been out of a home or out of money and out of food where your stomach is growling and you don't have food and you don't have work? When I lived and I ate out of trash cans, that's what it was like for me. And it's tough. Your next meal is whatever somebody's going to throw out. You know? So seeing or going through tough times is understandable. But going through tough times with that kind of loss is just devastating. Then she arose in verse 6 with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So in other words, the bread is grown and now she's ready to go back. See, these gals are Moabites. They have grown up with paganry. They have grown up worshiping false gods there. And now she's saying, I've got to go back here, right? Got to go back to House of Bread and Peace, which is Judah. And she heard in the country in Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. In 7, therefore, and by the way, can you just see Jesus in there feeding the 5,000? I know that's a total eisegetical. I know it's a total read-in, you know. But I just looked at that and I'm going, the Lord's feeding people because he fed the 5,000. They had no food. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. It's neither either one. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was to and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord kindly deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead. And you may find rest and each in their house of her husband. So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and they wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. Okay, so they were there. She was going, look, I can't cover you. I don't have a man. Remember that women were property. You were not equal. Jesus, God made people equal in the garden, severed it outside the garden. Jesus restored that. Women are equal, side by side with their. They're not over the man and they're not under their man. They're side by side with the man, and the man has spiritual headship and the man has responsibility over his family. And he also has responsibility of listening to his bride. You understand this concept? That was not necessarily evident. So she has no covering. She's going to go back with the prospect, the hope that there's going to be food there, right? And she's telling her daughter-in-laws, look, go back to your mom's house. Your dad's there, your brothers, whatever. She's not saying this is a bit of a read-in. Your family is there. They'll cover you. I can't cover you because I'm going into deeper poverty, right? So there's evidently love, because you guys know when you see a sweetheart of a mom, and maybe you didn't have a sweetheart of a mom, or you had a really sweetheart of an aunt, or maybe you didn't have a sweetheart of an aunt, or you just know a sweetie. You know what I'm talking about? Those gals that are just really sweet and nice. That's what they're leaving. These younger women are seeing an older woman who's just wonderful to be around, and now everything is broken, everything is perceived, taken from her, and it hurts because that relationship looks to be severing. And they stand in the road, in the way would be the way they walked. They stood in the way, and they cried, and they wept because they knew that this departure was imminent. Moabite, Judah. But Naomi said, oh, let me back up in 10. And they said to her, surely we will return with you. Surely we will return with you to your people. That's what they said. We're ready to go. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb? In other words, in the law was, if you're, and I don't know why that custom was about, but if your brother died and the mother had another son, that son had to take you in. She goes, is there more sons in my womb? Let alone, are you young? You're too old for them. You'd be dating a baby. It's too young. It's too much of a difference. That's what she's saying. Is there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back. Be reasonable. Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I'm too old to have a husband to cover me, thus cover you. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Do you understand the concept? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? Would you wait on these little ones? Would you keep yourself from being having husbands? Or forget waiting on ones that you're never going to have because I'll never get married again. Will you be able to take the rest of your life and never be married? No, my daughters. It grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone against me. It's more of a phrase. It's more of a phrase to have said that in verse 13 and B, second half. The Lord's hand is against me. She's had so much loss. You know, sometimes we sit there and we go, what did I do good? That, oh, if things are going good, God must love me. Things are going bad, God must hate me. No, God loves you constantly. Sin is the barometer and change. God loves you regardless. I was talking to a guy today that I gave a book to called Classic Christianity. Forgive me, I don't have the author. It was a book, it's probably about that thick, you know, smaller book. And it really just transformed my life early on. And in a part there, he says, I can't believe I'm 62 years old and I'm still wondering if God loves me. God loves you, period, even when you're bad. And not especially when you're good. He just loves because he has a covenant love. He says, I will love you. Whoop, take it right back. That's not his nature. He doesn't do that. He just loves us. And his first name's Howie. How he loves us. Oh, how. No, it's not his first name. His first name's Andy. Andy walks with me. You know, it's not that. His name is Yahweh, right? Why is his name Yahweh, Brent?
Could he do it? No way.
Yahweh. Did he do it? No way. Yahweh. No, I ain't it either. That ain't it either. That was the closest they could get to say his name. YHWH, no vowels. Yahweh.
Bob George
University. Stop. Has the hand of the Lord gone against me? Guys, listen real quick. If you've done something wrong, you've just done something wrong. If something has happened to you, it's an opportunity for you to cry out to the Lord. When he gives out his covenant love, he says, covenant is this, I will love you and I will do for you because that's my word no matter what you do. Contract is, I say this, you pay for that, boom, we work together. You don't do your job, you don't get paid. We have all been in employment, right, under somebody else. When you sign the back of the checks, you got to do what they say. You don't do what they say, right in the rear and you're right out of town, right? So, but that's not God. God says, I love you. And that's the end of story. You know, there's many a times the word will go out and it'll be taught, whoever's teaching, and we'll be just like, you know, Lord, don't speak to me, just speak. That's enough. If you speak, I'll hear. If you just speak, I'll know, because your Holy Spirit gives that. But she's going, go away from me. God's not with me. That's what she's perceiving. Well, let me tell you something. She is of the line, as we had read earlier in Abraham, Isaac, and then now Jacob in Genesis on Sunday, is that go and make a lot of kids, as many as there's stars in the sky and dust in the ground, and I, repeat after me, I will be with you. Period. 14. Then they lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. Orpah kissed her. Orpah is like deer or fawn or jock. She could have been as pretty as a deer or a fawn, which is a baby, same thing, baby deer, whatever. But it's probably more because she was a runner or a jock or something like that. And Ruth means beauty or personality. And she clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Please let me stay with you. And this is in 16. Or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And whatever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also. If any but death parts you and me, I'll never leave you until death do us part. You need to understand something here. There is a redemption going on, or a model of redemption. You see two people coming and weeping over the same thing. And we'll have that when we're weeping over our sins. Do you understand? We'll have that weeping over our sins. But some weep over their sins, and then once they're done weeping, they go back to their sins. Some sins, and those are the crimes against God, because we always have crimes against God first. Some will weep, and they'll have a repentance in their heart, where they're just, I can't do this. I'm totally changed. Repent is just do a 180, not a 360. If you're going this way and you do a 360, you're still going that same way. A 180 is going directly opposite. They've done a 180. They turn completely around. What she's doing is seeing her. She's seeing her for who she is. She wants to be with her. She's changed her mind. She's repented. She's repented. Metanoia. That's the word in Greek for repentance. Change of mind. A 180. Orpah had tears, but they were tears of separation, but not for repentance. Ruth had the tears where she now wants to be with mom, mother-in-law. But you got to think this also, entreat me, reading it again in 16 and 17. Entreat me not to leave you or turn your back from me following after you. Think of that going to Jesus. Think of that going to Jesus. And wherever you go, Jesus, I'll go. And wherever you stay, I'll stay. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Where you, whatever you do, I will follow you. Right? Right? That's what it is. Your people shall be my people. Your men, Jesus, your men and women of faith are my people. Are they more important than my family? They separate out from family. We still love our family, but if our family don't follow after you, Lord, we're going to pray for them. We're going to talk to them. We're going to grab their heels so they don't go down to hell. But if they end up going, our family is still in the blood of Christ, because that's the eternal family, and that's what we're wired for inevitably. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. Not just this, but bank on it. And I'm not going to sever from you. See, there's that word that we used a couple of weeks ago called cleaving. You know, Pastor Brent taught this last week, and the week before we talked about cleave. It's one of the only words that has two meanings. Cleave means to come together, or you see a cleaver, which separates. Cleave is happening here. One has cloven to go back to Moab and back to their old ways. One has cleaved and now going towards her and the new ways. She's going to a new life. She's going to the life in a proselytized in the Jewish tradition. Of course, today it'd be a Christian tradition. And in 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, this is Naomi, she stopped speaking to her. Why? Mom, I don't care what you say. I'm going with you. You can go wherever you go. I'm going. I got your arm. Go ahead, drag. That's what she's doing. She's going, right? She saw her determination. Have you ever seen somebody with passion in their face or passion in their heart or whatever? You're just like, dude, you're too much. Or you're just compelled. You're compelled by them. Well, she stopped speaking to her. Now, the two of them went until they came to House of Bread. Say it. House of Bread. Oh, little round of Bethlehem, House of Bread, right? Make sure you have that. Beth means house. Bethel means house of El Shaddai, house of God. Bethlehem. And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, it's Naomi! Woo! Pleasant is happy girl! She's here! Everybody, Naomi's back! And Naomi's coming up. I lost my husband. I lost my children. One of my daughter-in-laws is gone. And I'm broken down. I'm financially hurt. My sadness is on me. But she said to them, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Call me Mara. Bitter. I don't know that she's blaming God. She just understands that her situation has been rough. And I, call me Mara. I went out full. I was so full of joy. I went out. I had my husband. I had my two sick kids. We were my special needs kids. We went out together. I had daughter-in-laws who married special needs kids. Right? I went out and I was full. And the Lord brought me home empty. Why do you call me pleasant, Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. Now remember what happens when you're poured out? God pours you out and he fills you up and he pours you out. Do you see this? Holy Spirit. And he'll fill you back out to be poured out and used again and used again and used again. Do you understand? That's what it's like. Fill me, Lord. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up. Sometimes when we're teaching or we're out praying with people or we're playing a long worship set and it's just so heavy with the Lord, it's like he pours everything into you. And there's times that, you know, people want to come up and talk before service and I can't get there because I'm just not there. I'm in another place. I'm in that Holy of Holies. I'm in that time with him. Not necessarily physically. My mind space and myself, I'm connected with the Lord so tightly, I can't hear stuff. And then when you pour out, there's this exhaustion that comes that you can't explain it. You guys that have done street ministry and gone and prayed with people or had just an intense time of talking with somebody about Jesus Christ, and you walk away and you go, whoo, that was a lot. You're tired. That's because you've had a Holy Spirit moment. You've had an encounter with the Lord where he poured you out. And then he's going to fill you back up again. And then pour you out again. See, we're just this vessel. A water bottle that says Kirkland on it. That's all we are. Let's read that again. I went out full. Now, do you understand the concept? I went out full. I had life. We were ready to take on the trip. Yeah, we had the famine in the land. Boom, we're going out. And the Lord has brought me home again empty. Again empty? He's brought me home again. Have you gone out before? It doesn't say reading in, eisegetical. Why do you call me Naomi since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the company of country of God's washpot. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The moisture's come back. They're home again. That's where we'll end tonight. Extremely short. Pardon? Oh, I know. I know you get into it, right? I do too. I'm just like, whoop. No, I'm kidding. Look, this is the deal. The chapters are going to be short, but they're going to be powerful. This chapter here is great pain and great sorrow. And whatever you're going through right now, whatever you've gone through, it is never lost to the Lord's eyes. You know, Mary and I were going through a real tough time because we just had no time together, and there's just this strain. Oh, we have fun and woohoo, high five and hugs and talking with all our friends. How can I pray for you, brother? Hey, Mary, how you doing? Okay, did you get that? Check. Got it. On to the next thing. And we needed a break time with each other, and God gave it to us this week. You know, I know some of you are flying out of town or flown out of town or been on vacation or need to take a vacation. You're right, you do. But you don't need to take a vacation to Disneyland. Sorry, Disneyland. We'll get you next time. You need to take a rest. You need to go to Moab. You need to go to Bethlehem and get that house of bread and peace. That rest. Because let me tell you what happens in that time. You start seeing him again. What happens is the thickened skin, the layers from the Holy Spirit start to thin a bit again. And you can start hearing him again. And he can start pouring into you again. And the passion for him and the love for him and the depth of him and the depth of his word. And it all comes back fresh again. For some of you guys that have been volunteering here for quite some time and none at all, I'm going to tell you something. Take that time daily. But I can't. I got a wee one. I got an old one. I got an old one that wheezes. You know, you got it all, right? But you still have to take that time. And what that came to me was the place where we stayed, there was no TV on the main floor, and I like movies. You guys like movies? We'll have a movie night. We'll do a movie night since we shouldn't be watching a lot of movies, so we'll do a movie night. Just because we said we could. What was that? Okay. I was just seeing what was shaking this. No TV on the main floor. The only TV was downstairs. And outside, you know what you could hear? You could hear this. Listen. Sha. Did you hear that? Too much noise. We could hear that. And having that time to listen to God again. Having that time, maybe, and being in the Word, but sometimes just taking one scripture and just walking off with it. One little piece, maybe a paragraph, and laying down on your bedside or your floor or wherever you like to rest. And just taking that time and letting it fall asleep in you. God, I wanted to have time with the Lord and I fell asleep. Yeah, he gave you rest. Right? And start getting that separation. And then that thing of also what I was seeing here was on a separate note, of the separation, the tears, the remorse over the separation. And the parallel, like railroad tracks, the parallel to it is much like life. Again, coming to the sin. And one person is crying over their sin. And they've repeated this sin countless times. And they go, oh, and I'm sorry. And Right? You go right back to it. But you see the person that has, they have hit that sin and they've recognized it. You know, when I got to the end of my drug past, the end of my alcohol, all of that stuff that came to it, you know, for I don't know how long it was, every time I was near God in his word or in prayer or just around his Holy Spirit, which is always present all the time, but just the impression of his holiness against my unrighteousness, there's times I couldn't stop weeping. And I had to pinch myself. Am I really saved? Am I a Christian? Do I got to wear a tie now? You know? No. Or you could if you like. And see that brokenness. And then she sees that love. What loyalty to have a daughter-in-law like that. To have a daughter-in-law care about the mom so much. She saw her joy go to Mara. Bitterness. She saw it. She saw it right there. And she wanted to be there to loyal and to comfort. And again, the parallel is us walking with the Lord in that same way. I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be filled up and I want to be poured out until I'm exhausted and then be filled up. And sometimes that'll happen multiple times in a day. You guys, do you any of your work for yourselves, or do you work for other people? Who works for others? So you work for other people? Okay, so you work for other people. Do you understand that you're to be a blessing to them beyond measure? Do you understand if you put a C, yeah, a C in front of your name, as in Christian, and that's not like your given name, that's your entitled name because you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have to be above reproach. Well, I can't be perfect. No, you just need to be excellent. You have to be excellent at what you do. Well, excellent and perfect is not the same. No, it's not. Excellent is something you do with the best of your ability. Perfection is what you strive for, knowing that only Jesus Christ is perfect. But we still strive to be in his likeness. And what is our calling card? Love. And I'm not like, I love referrals, heart. You know, it's not like that. It's like, I love. And you know something? I'll never forget, I went to work in a warehouse. It was in 2008. November, December, right in there, and I needed a job bad because my industry was down. We lost 66% employment. We only had 33% employment. And I needed work. And I remember I had this little skinny nothing of a guy. He looked like that mic stand. And I'm like, Tracy, and that's his name, Tracy Haley. His mother-in-law just passed yesterday out in Kansas. Tracy, bro, how you doing, little bitty guy? Give me a hug. And my arms would go around him twice, you know, because he's so little. And he's just a great guy. And I was like, bro, how you doing? And then when I left, you know, because we'd have to go to different parts, the guys kept going, and forgive the expletive, but he said, what is that guy, a fag or something? What is he, a homo on you? And that's why I don't like the expletive, because I don't think it properly fits. But that's all they knew. And they said, what are you guys, like boyfriends or something? And they were really teasing this guy for 2 or 3 weeks. Bro, what's up, Tracy? How you doing, man? How you doing, man? Give me a hug, brother. Yeah, you guy, I love you, dude. How's your sister? How's your daughter doing? How's your, you know? Tracy gave his life to the Lord. You know, he still struggled with his demons, but he gave his life to the Lord. Another guy, while we were there, is 4-year-old. Hold him up. Hold him up. 4-year-old daughter died. Her coffin was this big. They had 6 coffin bearers. And their 4 were on the handles, but they only needed 2 because the coffin's this big. And it was white. And I'd never seen an African funeral before. They come down like this, dressed up beautifully. And the weeping. And I watched his daughter, the man go up to his daughter, and he looked at her, and he'd stand back. And he went up to her again. And he kissed her little cold body. And he stood back. This is the last look before the lid closes, you see. When I got fired, because I have a little dyslexia, you guys know that sometimes I'll shake my head like that because I'm trying to get my thoughts clear. And I'll flip my words around. I was in a medical warehouse, and they had these things on your arm, and I couldn't see it to begin with. I mean, those guys I'm working with are young enough to be my grandkids, you know, and my body's starting to break down. Yeah, I can pick that box. I got it. Oh, no, I get that, right? And I get it backwards, and I ship the stuff to the wrong place. And so much love had poured out in a 2-month period of time that when I got fired that night, the guys were mad. They were so mad. Why did you fire that guy? Why did you fire that guy? He didn't deserve it, because I went to him because I lost my job. I'd never been fired in my life, and I deserved it. But I had asked God for 2 months, and it was to the day. Well, you want to hear some things? I come home, and I'm home. Mary comes home from work. She goes, why are you here? And I feel like rat height, right? Why are you here? I got fired. She goes, good. She said, the house is falling apart. You need to go make your other job work. And I come up the stairs. And I see my little grandson. He's, I don't know, probably about this big. And he's been left as the man of the house. And he's looking around, and he's just standing there like this, you know, because things are going by, and he takes things one step at a time, and things are coming at him too fast. And I said, Jacob, come here. Jacob, come here. I'm home now. I said, it's all right. You've done a good job. You don't need to do this anymore. And you know, his little head was right here. And you know what I heard him do? Because he's trying to be the man of the house. He's doing his level best. It's how we are when we come to God. He just lets us exhaust out. But that's not even the rest of the story. This is the final piece. We were on a worship team, and the guy's name was Ed Mascarenhas. And we were on a worship team together. And I couldn't do this stuff on the worship team save Sunday, right? And Ed's dad had died. And I was so bummed because I worked swings that I couldn't go to see his, be with his, the worship team to come to his mother's house, to come and lift her arms up and to support her because she's Mara right now. And I show up and I'm like, they're going, at her house, they go, what are you doing here? Dude, I got fired. You're the happiest I just got fired guy I ever seen. And I said, yeah, but all I ever wanted to do was be here on this night. You know, what grace, what mercy my wife showed me, my bride. You know, because I felt about that big. And I felt stamped down like a snake in a wagon track. And you know something? Grace, love, covenant. You never know what God's got going on for you. You're going, why am I in this job? You're in this job to glorify God, and every award you get, every pat on the back, every customer that tells you you did a great job, you just tell them thank you, and in your heart you said, Lord, that's for you. When you go over and shovel your mom's driveway and you can't stand being around her, or you shovel a friend's driveway and your neighbor and you can't stand it, and you're going, each shovel, that's for you, Lord. I'm doing this for you. Oh, Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. Right? That's how we do. So you heard the story. Let's go around the room. If you don't have anything, say, got nothing. That's fine. What'd you hear tonight? We'll take the next 20 minutes. We'll maybe do one more song if you got something in there. Mary, what'd you hear?
Mm-hmm. She left what she knew mm-hmm. to be right and to be what made her up. She left all that, found something better, and a God that loves her.
Are you talking about Ruth?
Yeah. So Ruth, I mean, because you talked about the conversion.
Right.
Going from what she was,
mm-hmm. 180. I think Chison is their God. Chison, I think, is the.
What?
Chison is their God, was the, one of the gods. So, yeah. She left all that.
And she went to Naomi's God. And so and just the loyalty and all of that, the strength that she had.
So that peace and that struggle, she saw the love. It would have been easy to go back, but she saw somebody that had the love of Jesus Christ on. I'm going to tell you, poor Tracy, because I'm going to hug him. I haven't seen him in a long time. I know I'm supposed to go hit on the bike, and I'm going to see if I can't buzz out his way. I'm going to find out where he was. I'm going to walk up. Bro, what's up? Except I'm bigger now. I may knock him over. get up. Carmen, what'd you hear?
I really liked the definitions of
the names.
Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And, what is Elimelech?
Elimelech. It means I had a sour and I had to get an Elimelech. My God is king. My God is king. Famine.
So were they trusting God?
Absolutely. But God's not mentioned. The actions of a righteous people is the only thing that's mentioned in Ruth. The actual name of Yahweh, Jehovah, any of the above, is not mentioned in Ruth. And that's what I love about it, because he is mentioned in the entirety of the story.
Or not mentioned there.
Right.
I
just love that they start out with a man's name and it's Elimelech. And it's not Liming licking us. My God is king. Baby girl, what'd you hear? Baptized. I will ask you. One thing. I know you heard one thing. What'd you hear? Don't slip on the water. Yeah? How about you, baby?
I mean, we can all be, I feel like we all can be Ruth and Orpah at the same time.
Yes.
Where it's like in certain situations, you're like, yes, I'm going to cling to you, God, and I'm going to follow what you're doing. Or
Right. Why do we do that? Righteousness of the love of God, and we just feel like we got to go back here and either please somebody else or please something we think that's going to satisfy. Instead of just selling out for Jesus Christ, living a life unabashedly. Christy? Is that right?
Krista.
Krista. Darn, I almost had it. I got the Krista. Hey, Krista, how you doing? What'd you hear, baby? Real loud, because I can't hear that far. That's okay. That's okay. right. Hey, no work stories, no work stories. Go ahead, Sugar. Right.
And I was like, oh, I know that song, you know? And then I also love the part where you're basically showing how she's going through something and God was there through, like, the whole thing.
And he's there now.
Huh?
And he is here now.
Exactly. And it kind of relates to my life right now.
It's good. Good. Right. I couldn't see when you walked in because I just can't see that far. And I was like, is that Leslie? Did she come here by herself? And then you kind of came and I saw Gordo get up and I was like, oh, hey, I remember you. Bro, what did you hear? I know you got two things, so you go with two, but go ahead. It's like that. Yeah, you never want to go to the Flat. It's too thin. Hallelujah. No, I know. I'm just. Yeah. Do you know who the Platt's named after? Lancaster Platt Lupton, lieutenant from West Point that founded this area. Did you know that? Now you do. What else did you hear? Gordo, what you got, bro? You got three, I know. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, go.
Oh.
Cool.
Just recently, I've been talking about when you mentioned praying and then, trying to give God the time to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
and falling asleep specifically is one.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very guilty because
mm-hmm.
I felt oh man, I wasn't patient enough, or I got bored or something.
Uh-huh.
But then you said He just gave you rest.
He just gave you rest.
It, just
thank you.
Something as stupid as
mm-hmm.
just hearing it.
Mm-hmm. No. You know, and that's why it's good to talk about stuff like that, too. That's why we always ask, what did you hear? Because are you guys getting confirmation that God's working just by hearing something as simple as that? Absolutely. You know, absolutely. For me, well, no, go ahead, Brent, I'm sorry. You got 17 things.
I always get forgotten.
No, you don't. I was going to get you. I just didn't want to go before you.
You know, the whole, words have meaning,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we say we're a Christian, what does that mean and what does that look like? Because if this story is about love and everything else, it actually never even really speaks about love. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
talk about God. It doesn't talk about love. Now,
mm-hmm.
we know he encompasses both,
mm-hmm.
but we're seeing it
spelled out. Use words when necessary. And use words because she used words because they were necessary. Say again?
So they're living it.
They're living it. And we're getting to see the exemplar. What else did you see? Anything?
That's the main one.
Okay.
My notes. Right there.
That's okay. I saw everything from Ruth 1:1 to Ruth 1:22. Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
You know, it's just God's washpot.
I know.
I just think that.
Isn't that disgusting?
It's pretty bad.
This is the urinal where God goes. The unlovely, did you say?
Unlovely.
I really appreciate, no, I appreciate that you said unlovely,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that can be a person or a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you think of the son that was departed, You know, they were both departed. One just geographically left, and he lived in the dirty area. Carmen, was there something else?
There was so much.
Did you have one other you wanted to speak?
Sorry, but my computer went and my brain turned off.
That's the computer. That's just the assistant.
I put my assistant down, and then my brain stayed.
Krista, was there anything else? You don't have to have anything. I just make sure it's all out. Okay, Gordo? I love you too, bro. I love you too, bro.
Who's going to clean up that mess you made?
Don't worry about it, bro. This is Colorado, not Georgia.
This is volunteer
right there. It sounds like it. You know, don't worry about it.
It's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty clean.
Do we need somebody on words?
Gordo's on it. He's
okay.
Talking with someone
else. Oh, Carmen, why don't you go ahead and grab words real quick, can you? We've still got about 10 minutes.
Father, you are with us in the wash pot.
Can you pull the lights down, please?
And in the house with much food, where there is peace, Lord. You are light when there is darkness. You are our source of hope, Father, and we thank you for it.
Can stand up.